We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good evening, Kansas City. Todd Lebo in studio tonight. A little different than we normally do. Normally, you would be maybe hearing the bonus hour, or you'd be hearing some NCAA basketball like you will tomorrow night at this time. But we've got a very important issue facing Jackson County voters, and we've been talking about this for years, nay, decades. We've been talking about this. The stadium vote is coming up next April, and we've got a fun show planned for you tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Scheduled to appear, Frank White, the county executive, Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, Brooke Sherman, the president of the Royals, Patrick Tuohy, who is a senior fellow at the Show Me Institute, who I saw at the town hall at the library last week, and he's on the no side of this. Sly James, former Kansas City mayor, and also Jim Rowland, the executive director of the Sports Complex Authority, who was at a press conference that I was at earlier today where they have the leases done 6 days before the election is supposed to happen next Tuesday. A little late, but hey, better late than never. We'll see. The voters will decide. Also, newsy today, the Royals put out a press release that they plan to keep Oak Street open, which if you looked at the footprint of this plan, Oak Street runs not exactly down the middle, pretty close to down the middle, though. And I don't know how they'll do that, but they're going to do that. We had a chance to talk to John Sherman today at a press conference at Royal Stadium. By the way, the Royals open their season tomorrow. If this weren't enough, it's all happening at the same time. And John Sherman told us today that the decision to keep Oak Street open shows the Royals want to make the downtown folks happy.
You know, I would say that we're listening to people in the neighborhood. I think we're you know, really from the beginning, the Crossroads Community Association, people in the Crossroads, businesses, the mayor and the city council expressed a strong preference for that to stay open. We did our original design with that closed, but that's really, Jonathan, really in reaction to listening to people in the community.
I will give the Royals credit. They are listening and doing some things that people like. We'll see how far they'll go. John Sherman was pretty interesting today, talking to him about talking to people, kind of doing some polling of his own. His wife had gone to dinner at a restaurant in Brookside and was asking people what they thought. She got 4 yeses, 2 noes, and 3 maybes. You know, I don't know. That's not scientific polling. But I think there's people will tell you either side of this at this point, how this is going to go next Tuesday. There have already been maybe 5,000 early votes done. I don't know where those land. They don't tell you that stuff. But later in the day, we had a press conference out at Arrowhead Stadium where Mark Donovan, Brooke Sherman, and the folks from the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority were there. And they had the leases, and they signed them right there at the table. But not everybody was there. Frank White wasn't there. We're going to hit Frank White right here in a second, but he wasn't there. But there were a couple of folks from the Jackson County Legislature who were there. But this has all been a little bit sloppy. For sure. It hasn't been like not everyone's in lockstep walking around down here, you know, singing kumbaya about this. It has not been easy. But getting these done, Mark Donovan says, shows that they are committed to getting this deal complete, and it's moving towards the vote next Tuesday.
And now we've created a way where we'll have this beautiful building here for the next 25 years and hopefully longer. And we'll have a brand new building downtown that will do the same thing for 40 years. So as you go through that process, it's important that you have two sides that are committed to the same thing. Sometimes you've got to get through the differences in how we get there. But what I'm excited about is today we're sitting in front of you having signed an agreement that guarantees that going forward. The next step and the time is now for April 2nd and voting yes on number one so we can actually engage and execute on these agreements.
You heard him say 25 years on Arrowhead. There are 2 5-year extensions that possibly could be put on the end of it, but 25 years starting in 2028 for Arrowhead and a 40-year lease for the Royals if they get a downtown stadium built. That would begin when they move into the downtown stadium. They're not the same length of the lease, but you're talking about a new building and an older building. These are things we will talk to Brooke Sherman and Mark Donovan about when they join us this hour. But right now, we are joined by Jackson County Executive Frank White, Royals Hall of Famer. Numbers reside out there. There's been plenty of discussions between him and the county, and it hasn't gone all that smoothly. But I'm glad he's here to discuss this important issue that's facing our voters. Welcome into the show, Frank.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for looking at this, like you said, this very important issue that's going to be on the ballot on Tuesday. You're talking about 40 years for the Royals and $2 billion from the taxpayers. And so that's been a discussion. The biggest, probably the most irresponsible thing on this whole deal was getting the, they were able to get a couple of friendly legislators to push this through to the ballot without any type of agreement. I think that is really the big issue, that people are going to the polls to vote on something they don't really know what they're voting on. In their mind, they're saying, we're going to vote to keep the Royals and Chiefs for 40 years, but there's just no agreement. So basically, if the vote passes, then basically the teams will have an open checkbook.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit first. Okay. I'll just recap a little bit here. We've talked about this on the air a lot over the past couple of months. First things first, they tried to pass this. They got enough legislators to say they want to put it on the ballot. You vetoed it.
Yes.
And then a couple weeks later, they overrode your veto with a 7-2 vote. So you had two legislators who stood with you on that. I was down there at the courthouse that day. Since then, since they overrode the veto, they've been going ahead with these plans. Even up to today, John Sherman, in consultation with Quentin Lucas, the mayor of Kansas City, says they're going to maybe change the thing and not have Oak Street in the middle of it. We're really getting near the end here. Is this just one more symptom of they don't have everything fully planned out yet?
I think you're right, Todd. I think the only thing that we've heard from the time we started talking about the Royals wanting to move downtown was the fact that they never did sit down and say for a long time where they actually wanted to build a stadium. And the Crossroads came up pretty much at the last minute, and it kind of like dropped a bomb on a lot of people. And they really didn't have a good fit for how it was going to fit in the Crossroads. And I think that just goes back to, if you don't sit down and negotiate and get it right, then it's hard to keep changing boats in the middle of the stream, so to speak. And that's what's confusing a lot of people.
So we heard from John Sherman earlier today, and then they got the leases out, and we'll talk about that much more during the show. But I want to talk to you about kind of the history of how we got here. You mentioned the $2 billion. Let's try to simplify this for people who are listening. Okay. What they hear is a 3/8-cent sales tax, and you guys have run some numbers that say that this will, in theory, the Royals and Chiefs are each saying they're going to get about $350 million out of this tax, but you're saying the true cost is $2 billion. How do you guys come about that figure?
Well, you know, first of all, Todd, the teams haven't been forthcoming with any financials at all, no pro forma at all, to say, if they say we need $1 billion for a stadium, then we can't see it on paper because they haven't given us anything. And the Chiefs will say we need $1 billion for renovations, but they want to be strategic, but yet we don't have numbers to verify if these are actual costs or not. So I really feel like right now the county is $52 million the sales tax will bring in this year. So we're spending at least $50 million a year on the stadiums. And you take that over 40 years, and that's where that number comes from.
So if more sales tax comes in, they get that money, is your point?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So if lots of things get sold in Jackson County and the 3/8-cent tax is on there, they will get 3/8 cents of whatever gets sold.
That's it.
So the projections you guys have say that'll end up being a couple of $1 billion.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's where that number comes from. As you've gone through this, can you remember back when the first time the Royals came to either you or the legislature and said, we'd like to do this? It's just been more than 6 months. I mean, it's been two plus years probably,
It's been discussed for quite a while. I think all the early discussions were, we want to move downtown. They're trying to get the buy-in to move downtown, so to speak. And then they come back and they want to talk about just getting a tax on the ballot. My stance all along was, okay, I'm okay with you talking about a sales tax extension, but let's talk about a lease first before we get to that point. And then we found out later that the current sales tax that they're operating under now won't work if they're separate in two separate places, mm-hmm. because the bonds bonded this as one project. And so that's why now you have a parks sales tax. So now it could, they'll have them in separate places and they'd both be okay. And then you'd have to go back and they want you to refi the remaining $171 million that's owed on the current
existing bonds.
So basically they're telling people no new tax, but it actually is a new tax. It's still 3/8 cents, but it's a new 3/8 cents for 40 years.
Because you have to clear up the old one.
You have to clear up the old one, yes.
Okay. So when you – the people who you hear from all around the county, when they first – the Royals came to you guys, and there were a lot of people who like where the stadium is because it's easy to get to, especially people in eastern Jackson County, I think. And maybe they don't want to go downtown. But you work downtown, right? You've seen downtown grow and burgeon over the past 15 years or so. You personally, downtown baseball, do you like downtown baseball? Or you just don't like this deal? Or, you know, I mean, how do you fall on that?
It's not a good deal for the county as it stands. And I was trying to be more – I was trying to get the teams to try to be more equitable with Jackson County. Downtown, as our downtown has grown, and we don't have a tremendous spacious downtown. So I really feel like it's just more congestion having a ballpark downtown. Now, other cities that have built ballparks downtown have had success. St. Louis, the people who go to the games, I've gone to games in St. Louis, the parking is horrible. You have to walk a long way to get to your car. And I think you're going to have the same situation there because there's no parking structures south of Truman Road until you get to Union Station or Crown Center. So I don't.
They'll tell you there's X number of spaces within a 10-minute walk. You don't buy that.
Well, how many people? There are a lot of people that can't walk 10 minutes. You know, you're going to have people who are in wheelchairs. You have people who have other means that they need assistance to get into the ballpark. And if you don't have the cap over 670, then how are they going to get there? From the T-Mobile Center.
That's an interesting thing because when I went to the unveiling of the renderings, I thought the cap over 670 is one of the coolest things in the world. But it has nothing to do with this tax. Mm-mm. That's a totally separate
That's
project.
A whole separate deal.
Where does that stand?
The last I've heard was the $75 million that they applied for didn't come through. And so no one's talked about it yet. So I'm waiting to hear more about that as they move forward. But so far, it's been a moot point.
Yeah, so the stadium renderings we've seen, which now may change because they say they won't include Oak Street. So this is really moving around at the last minute.
Yes.
If anything you see but that green space over 670 is not part of this,
no. That,
is it a federal thing? Where is that?
It's a federal deal.
It's a federal deal. Okay. So that's one more thing to put a pin in, I guess. Frank White is joining us. He's the county executive for Jackson County, and we've got this big vote coming up. Enjoying this special tonight. We've got a lot of people we're going to talk to. And Frank, one of the things that people always ask is they say, well, Frank is just holding a grudge against the Royals. Can you clear up whatever happened between you and the Royals? And by the way, that was not with John Sherman as the owner.
I've never worked for John Sherman.
Right.
And how the heck did I know I was going to be in this position? You know,
right.
It's like this is just all talk for people who were trying to get the vote passed. You know, I played 2,334 games for the Royals, all with character, all with integrity. And no one's ever had a negative thing to say about me in that area. And it really kind of disappoints me that John Sherman's out there saying we've never met and Frank wouldn't meet with us and things like that. I met with him multiple times. And the problem is I asked him for something. And they didn't want to give up what I was asking for. And then they found two legislators that were in their court. And those two legislators were able to get it on the ballot, and since they overrode my veto in January, I haven't had a conversation with John Sherman or anyone in the Chiefs.
Have you tried to call them? Are you waiting for them to call you? I mean, what's happened on that front?
Well, they got what they want. I mean, once it got on the ballot, I told the legislature, if you put this on the ballot without getting a signed lease, then they're going to quit talking to you, and that's just what happened. So it's been January since they've – I think legislator Obarka maybe be the only one they talk to, but – No,
tell me this: Who signs the lease in the end? You have to sign the lease, don't you?
Yeah, to my knowledge, I do. But they seem to think there's another way, so I'm trying to see what that end run's going to look like. But I think that as the chief elected official in Jackson County, I should be the one to sign the lease for the county. But like I say, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts, and so we're just trying to get county counselors to look at it pretty deep and see exactly where it falls.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about a couple other things too, things that didn't exist in the 2006 leases for sure, and that's a community benefits agreement. No, there was no discussion of that. It's kind of a new thing, started in about 2001 out in L.A. From the outside looking in, part of my question is, I get some of it, like who builds the building and minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, and all that stuff. I don't quite understand the housing concept part of it. Can you fill me in on why community benefits agreements exist and how important that part of it is?
I think it's a way to have the teams give back to the community because the teams are taxpayer-funded. We have two teams that are pretty much all publicly subsidized, and so a lot of cities now are looking for ways to recoup some of those dollars back into the community, and then when you to help these folks, you have to have the right people at the table. You just can't get random people appointed by the team to say, okay, we're gonna put this together, we're gonna send it out. All the people that are at the table that should have been at the table got up and left the table, and they still continued with their committee. And it's kind of hard to add what the community needs without the right people at the table.
So they have, both teams have committed $250 million apiece in their estimation on community benefits. I know it's not, it has been spelled out. I guess it's not a binding or whatever. But have you been moved at all by what you've seen on their end to reach out with the CBA?
I haven't.
From nothing to where they are?
I haven't been moved. We're pretty much basing a lot of what we were thinking on the Milwaukee Brewers CBA.
And but what's in there that's not in this?
An agreement.
But besides the signing part, I know it's a big deal.
But it's a huge deal. Yeah. I mean, because people can change their mind. So, it's got to be specific. It's got to be measurable. But the number one thing has got to be enforceable. And what they give you is it doesn't cover any of those things. And so you talk to the people who are involved. They're not confident that this is going to go forward. So the Chiefs and the Royals from day one have never been willing to sit down at the table and put together a new lease that we could all get behind, and then we can move forward.
So the lease is that part of it. But on like if the thing that the bare bones breakout of the CBA, does that look appealing at all? I mean,
well, we didn't really – we basically looked at it and we said, well, this doesn't cover the things that I mentioned earlier. It doesn't cover the measurable parts of it, the enforcement parts of it, we felt like was missing. We spoke with Casey Tenets. There was a Jobs KC, stand-up
case. Casey Tenets are basically all about housing, affordable housing, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
There's not a big housing proponent part of this, but there – their initial plan had some housing in it.
It had some housing, yes.
Explain to me what that means. Casey Tenet wants part of that housing to be affordable, or are they talking about housing just around the district?
Well, I think they're all kind of –
because how can the Royals be responsible for, like, the price that they charge at one light or two light? They can't be in charge of that, right?
No, they wouldn't be in charge of that at all. Now, this would be totally new. I don't know what – and that was another thing that we never really got a good handle on is the ancillary development and what it was going to look like, what's it going to include. And I think they maybe position themselves to say, okay, if they're going to build affordable housing, then they probably got to build it more east. And they can't get it all in that one area that we're talking about, so they have to expand. And each village, I think they were talking about going down West Paseo in that area that they really beefed that up. But I think it's just a combination of jobs and housing and just I think just a benefit that the team is putting back in the community because the teams are getting 100% taxpayer financing. And that's the one thing I was trying to do with the teams, which say, let's be more equitable. I said, let's bring more revenue back to the county. Then I can put that money into the community.
Well, the Royals do say it's not 100% taxpayer. I mean, they're saying they're putting $1 billion in there.
Well, that's not on the stadium. That's the $1 billion they're putting in. It's on there.
On the other part.
That's the other part.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So another aspect of this, we're talking to Frank White, the county executive, about the stadium issue coming up for vote next week. One of the things that I thought that you guys worked really hard on when you were having the conversations was You did get some concessions, I think, on like that the Parks and Rec or whatever, some things that weren't there before.
Yeah,
that was
right.
How easy was it to get those things done? Do you feel like, I mean, the lease just got kind of, it's not finalized, it's not signed, but we're right. Do you feel like this lease has to be better than the last one because it didn't include things like there were things the county was on the hook for last time that you have already hopefully gotten fixed, correct?
Well, they're not fixed the way that I wanted them fixed. The park levy was $3.5 million. The insurance we talked about was $1.5 million.
Annually,
yes. Right. And so what we looked at this tax being passed in 2024, and if the way they had it, we'll start this in 2031. And I said, well, in 2031, we'll get it back anyway because the lease is over. Mm-hmm. So I wanted them to start in 2025, since they would be getting tax money right away, then why couldn't the county benefit right away, rather than having to wait?
And have you gotten that agreed to or not?
No. Okay. Like they haven't spoken to me since January, so I don't know.
We are talking to Frank White about this stadium vote coming up. People have been voting already. Mm-hmm. Early vote gets out, right?
Yes.
And my guess, you tell me, you've been involved with elections. A lot of the early vote, I think, gets mobilized early, and that is on this front probably the no vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stand up KC folks, the KC Tenet folks, they vote and they know how to mobilize people. Mm-hmm. Have you had indication on what the early vote is right now? You think it's mostly no or mostly yes?
The only thing I've heard, Todd, is that Eastern Jack has voted more than Kansas City at this point.
Okay.
In early voting, but I don't have any specific numbers or any. I mean, we even tried to get polls from the Royals early. They wouldn't give us their poll numbers or anything like that, saying that it was polling right for them to move downtown, those type things. But like I said, from day one, since they've announced moving downtown, I haven't run across one person that said they're going to vote for it to move downtown, other than you run to your developers and your union folks and all the people who benefit. They're the ones who've seen your letters saying support it moving downtown. But my job as the elected official of Jackson County is to look at the entire county infrastructure and say, how can we benefit? See, we don't have an earnings tax like Kansas City. So we don't have a revenue stream other than sales tax and property tax. So we have to balance.
I'm going to talk to you about my property tax. It went up.
So if I could fix it, I would have. Yeah. But these are the things that we control. But I just really feel like the teams have benefited so much, and the taxpayers have given so much that the teams can afford to give something back to the community. And that's, I mean, what are Jackson taxpayers getting now? They're on a 25-year lease now, mm-hmm. and they all they get is first right to buy tickets.
So certain dates.
So if they if they can't afford the tickets, they don't have any rights. And a sales tax is a regressive tax. So if you got the money to buy the tickets, you got the money to
sales tax, no issue to you.
Right.
So the less money you have, 3/8 cents is 3/8 cents.
Right. So the people who can't afford to go to the games, then those people got to pay anyway.
Yeah.
And the people on fixed income, they still got to pay anyway.
So let's talk a little bit about what if there's a no. The lease still goes till 31.
Yes.
We've heard both teams mm-hmm. say we're mostly talking about downtown on this deal because the Chiefs are it's the same vote, but it's a little bit of a different issue because we're talking about downtown. But one of the things that I remember talking to you about back in January was you wanted to make sure that, like, the Chiefs' practice facility and their offices were still in Jackson County. Mm-hmm. And the same with the Royals. Is there any language you've seen anywhere that would, like, if the Royals build a stadium downtown, that's where their offices are going to be or anything like that? Or is there
Well, I'm pretty sure the Royals, usually baseball teams usually keep their facilities right there. The Chiefs have said they want to build new offices and new training facilities. So we've been trying to get them to commit to keeping those in Jackson County, which we weren't able to do.
Where are you thinking they want to move those? Or have they said?
No one said. Not to you. No, not to me, no.
Okay. So if this thing doesn't pass, we've heard both of them say, well, we'll have to open up all of our options. Mm-hmm. What's the level of fear you have? It's my understanding, like, if you know, through 31, these are pretty tough leases. I mean, if the Royals went and they left Jackson County, they would have to give a lot of the money back to Jackson County because the way the leases were written, that's one strong thing about those leases to start with. But what do you think will happen?
Well, that might not be in the new lease.
The new lease, right? Well, but the old lease does have that in there.
Right,
so, what do you think is going to happen with the Royals if this thing doesn't pass?
Well, you know, I think, Todd, I think it was really not good for either team to sort of threaten the taxpayer who's been doing this for years and years.
I'll say devil's advocate. They get asked the question. You know? They haven't stood right out there and said, if you don't pass this, we'll leave. They get asked right. the question, they answer it.
Right. And so I'm just saying, though, that if you've been a taxpayer and a big supporter of the teams over these years, and someone says, well, and you got 7 years left on a lease, and they say, well, if you don't pass this tax now, then we're going to explore our options to leave. I think that's being disrespectful of the taxpayers and disrespectful of the fans who come to watch you play.
So if this doesn't pass, do you think the Royals will still try to do something downtown and maybe you'll come back and get a better deal? That's what a lot of people say. If it doesn't pass this time, they'll come back and try to do a better deal?
I would like to see, Todd, I would like to see the tax fail. And I would like to hope, and I hope that that would give us a reset where the fans, where the teams can come back to the table, negotiate a beneficial agreement that's going to help everybody and not just demand, you know, that it's going to be our way or the highway. I mean, I think that has been the biggest disappointment to me because you thought that these guys would be more professional and they sit down and say, let's hammer this out. And I mean, when you're going, when you're talking about deals this big, you're going to get upset on one thing and upset on another thing. But I mean, you meet in the middle somewhere. It was just this is the way we want it. And I think once they decided that they could go around me to a couple of legislators, I think they just everything broke down at that point.
If we've heard lots of talk about like they would leave Kansas City, but that doesn't mean leaving Kansas City. Sometimes that just means going to Clay County or Kansas or whatever. What do you think the chances are if this thing doesn't pass in 2032, the Royals are not playing in our metropolitan area?
Well, I think it'd be disappointing.
You think it's a possibility, though?
Everything's possible. I mean, you saw what happened in St. Louis. I mean, the owner decided he was just going to leave, and he built his own stadium in L.A. So I think people with those type of with the funds that they have, they can do pretty much what they want to do when they want to do it. My hopes is that they would consider the city, what the city's been to their franchises, what the taxpayers been to their franchises, and really just sit down and say, listen, let's work this out and let's move forward.
If the Royals could build this downtown without taxpayer money, would you be for that? I mean, just, they don't take any money from the taxpayers. They found a way to just to buy the property and do it?
I'd be for it because they're using their own money at that point. The disappointing thing about the Crossroads is that you're dislocating so many businesses. And I think that was the number one thing. And then it was sort of a last minute.
Did they switch from East Village? What do you think?
I have no idea.
Never really told you?
Nope.
So what's going to happen? Do you think it's going to pass or fail?
Well, I'm hoping it fails.
Well, but what do you think is going
to
happen?
People have to vote. When people have to vote, I can't predict what people are going to do. But I think that Eastern Jack folks, this should be a negative there. In the urban core, there's more people. So it depends how many people get on vote. I think mm-hmm. that's going to be the big deal and how much it means to people.
But, right.
But I think that this is probably going to be the second biggest challenge of my political life, you know, COVID being number one.
Right.
And this being number two.
Well, I thank you for your time. Going to talk to folks from the Royals and the Chiefs coming up later on the show. Is there anything you'd like me to ask them?
Well, I'd like to ask him that if this tax doesn't pass, then that we come back to the table and we hammer this out for the betterment of the county. I mean, both teams are very important to our community. I love baseball. I love sports in general. And Kansas City without major sports is not anyone's dream. But I think that when you look at it from a business standpoint and a longevity standpoint, when you're talking 40 years, then 40 years you have to be equitable. You can't take the same $50 million a year now and stretch it another 40 years because now you're really putting the county in a tough spot at that point.
Frank, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. And everyone get out and vote on Tuesday. I know I'll be voting on Tuesday. If you haven't already voted, you have to do it because we do have the right to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool part about
that's
America.
Number one. Yes,
you
sir.
Get to vote and figure this stuff out. Because sometimes some of these cities you can just pass things without people voting. So
you brought that up. It was kind of interesting. When Oakland went to L.A., they could do that. Mm-hmm. And LA wanted $350 million in taxpayer subsidies and they didn't have to vote on it. But then I think the school district and not school district the
every city's different.
Union,
there's different
the
rules in states
and
all this stuff.
They got it put on the ballot. So They do have cities that can do that. Yeah. I'm glad we're not like that.
We're not like that. We should all get out and vote on Tuesday in Jackson County. Frank Weitz, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Ted.
We'll be back right after this on the Stadium Special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into this Stadium Vote Special on Sports Radio 810 WHB tonight. I'm Todd Lebo in studio until 8 o'clock. That was County Executive Frank Weitz joined us for a conversation. I forgot to mention this earlier, Dylan. You didn't remind me. We're not taking phone calls, but we are taking texts. You can use our text line, 913-912-4810, 913-912-4810. We are joined in studio now by Brooke Sherman, the president of the Royals. We have Mark Donovan, the president of Chiefs, coming up next as it's a star-studded affair on this Tuesday night. Brooks, thanks so much for coming in. I know you guys have been really busy. We were out at the press conference earlier today where you signed the leases. First off, what was the relief like to get that done?
Well, thanks first for having me, Todd. This is great. Love to be here representing the Royals. That's a culmination of a lot of work there, and we were very pleased to get that done. Our thanks goes out to the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority for getting us there, but we've been working at it diligently. What we got done there, we think, is a great deal for the county and a good deal for the Royals. So we're ready to get moving there.
Take us back a little bit. People know, you have to say this all the time, you're not related to John Sherman.
That's right.
You have the same last name. But you have worked with him for a couple of decades in the business you guys were in prior to owning the Royals. You guys owned, you helped him get involved with the Cleveland Guardians franchise at that point. But you've known this guy for a long time. And people in Kansas City are just kind of getting to know him a little bit. What can you tell us about John Sherman and, like, his plan for Kansas City and a stadium, why this is important to him?
Well, Kansas City is home to John. It's his hometown. He would consider it his hometown. He's been here his entire adult life, raised his family here, and built a great business here in the company that we had, Energy, and he had built a couple prior to that. So Kansas City's home, raised his family here, and he and Marnie, his wife, have done a tremendous amount of very positive philanthropic work, charitable work, and this is what he believes Ewing Kauffman would want, David Glass would want, and we view this as a great thing for Kansas City to have. And to have this location downtown, we believe baseball belongs downtown, and I know he firmly believes that, and that the economic benefit that this can bring to this community and the civic and pride that it brings, having this downtown will be great. So I think when you start combining all of that, what he's done for Kansas City prior to ever owning the Royals, they did as a family and a family foundation and continue to do to this day, not because they're the Royals, but because they think that's the right thing to do, following the footsteps, if you will, of what Ewing Kauffman did.
We're talking to Brooke Sherman, the president of the Royals, about the stadium vote coming up next Tuesday. And when you guys first got involved, when Mr. Glass called and said, would you like to buy the team, was the idea right away, this sounds like a good idea to buy this team, but we'd like to have downtown baseball? Was that one of the first things you thought about as a group when you got involved with the team, or when did that genesis come?
You know, I think that was a part of the thinking, but the first part of the thinking was that the Kansas City Royals are just that, the Kansas City Royals, and we love baseball. We had an interest that John had acquired in Cleveland, so the first order of business there was to say, okay, is this the right thing to do, is to take a shot at acquiring the Kansas City Royals? It's a hometown team, so that's what John decided was the best thing to do. And as we thought about how to go about doing that, we wanted to be stewards. That's John's. He wanted to know that the Royals were going to belong to Kansas City, were going to stay in Kansas City. And I think that's reflected in our ownership group. When you look down at our ownership group and what John was able to accomplish with putting this ownership group together, all Kansas City-based, Kansas City-centric, most of them live here, raise families here, have grown businesses here. That was what was important, was that we want to be stewards of this great franchise. So that was number one. And then we thought, okay, well, you know, Kauffman Stadium has served the Royals extremely well for this period of time that it has. But we knew, you know, that the lease was up in after the 2030 season, and that we are big believers in urban, a baseball park in the urban environment, having experienced that in Cleveland, seen many stadiums around the country like that. So we knew that was a possibility, and what we, not a possibility, but a thought that that's what we should be doing as we moved into the first few years, get through the pandemic. So it wasn't the number one thing, but we knew that it was going to be something that we would deal with, and it would be a generational decision, and we then embarked down the path here being very thoughtful about what we would do.
And you, it's been a couple of years now, right? I mean, these first discussions, this wasn't like 6 months ago.
That's right.
What were the first discussions like?
Well, the first discussions were...
with the county or the, you know, whether it was Frank or the county, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that, when you had to get the government involved.
Yeah, no, we introduced our idea to them that, hey, our lease is up after the 2030 season. We think now is the time to begin planning so that we do this right for the future of Kansas City, for the future of Jackson County. Let's start planning this and begin to lay out how we saw baseball as a sport, bringing, having 81 games, bringing 2 million plus fans to an area. Why not show them the best of Kansas City? Why not be additive to what has already occurred downtown with the Power and Light and what the Crossroads has done? And why not be additive to that and give the Chiefs some room to run out at the Truman Sports Complex and take 81 games a year, bring those fans in night after night, belongs in an environment like that. Come early, stay late. Dwell time can be long, and you want those people down there and benefiting the businesses that already exist and grow more.
So when you got involved with the county at the very beginning, was it not super receptive?
When we got involved with the county at the very beginning, that was your question as I kind of expanded on it. But we got involved with them and told them of our idea. And the feedback was, well, we don't know if the leases that Jackson County has with the teams are good leases. And we said, these leases have worked well for these teams. If you look over the 50-plus year history of the championship teams that have been here, and just in the last, 10 years, you've had two World Series, All-Star Game a little bit before that. You've had AFC Championships. You have Taylor Swift concerts. None of that's possible without these stadiums here. And so that was their immediate response. And so as we moved through that, they told us a couple of things, which was, you know, if we could get the park levy turned back, if you all would pay your own insurance, then that would be something that would really begin to help.
Those
things have happened.
That's what you've agreed to do.
The Chiefs and us agreed to do that. Mm-hmm. We offered that up and thought that we would get moving there, and we just never could get Frank to get the traction to sit down with us and go into the process. We put a term sheet from the Royals to them in June of 2023 and finally got engaged to a degree in September, but after a couple of canceled meetings, never really went anywhere until we got introduced with the legislature.
So why do you think that has been that way? Do you have a guess? I mean, Frank says nobody calls. Is this kind of like, well, someone's waiting for someone to call, make the first step? I don't know. How would you characterize it?
I don't know
why. How does it feel?
I don't know why that would be said. Mm-hmm. We set up meetings and showed them renderings, talked about how we would see this moving forward, and we tried to engage them. Again, put together a very thoughtful term sheet that was beneficial to the county and would keep the Royals here for the long term, which is what we want. That's why we bought the team, is to keep the Royals in Kansas City and prospering. We need a new stadium to be competitive with our peers, both from a fan amenities, fan experience standpoint, to drive revenues, so we can put that back on the field in the form of players, with our players on the field, and ensure that we have championship caliber teams and give us the best shot at having the playoffs, the World Series. And then that money, to get those players, we need better player development. We've had these clubhouses and the square footage we've had down there for 50 years. Times have changed. We have many more coaches. We have women on staff. So we need women locker rooms. We have a batting cage and a half, I think. And we need those amenities for the fans, but moreover, we need player development facilities.
And there is there a room for that in the footprint that you guys have? And tell me a little bit about what happened here with Oak Street's not going to be open. How do you do that, number one? Can you have it open and kind of be over the top of it with your stadium? What has Populist told you about having Oak Street be able to be passable?
Yeah, we did say that. We would keep Oak Street open. And that's really from a traffic flow perspective. That was, we listened to the community there to say, and the business owners in the Crossroads, that we need Oak Street to be open for the ingress egress. So we listened, and yes, it's possible that that can be open and still have the stadium and be in good shape with the stadium and our development there. It makes it a little bit more complicated for us to go through, and we've got some work to do there, but it's certainly possible.
Would you say, I mean, you mentioned, like they said, the park levy and the taxes, the insurance, and keep Oak Street open. You guys have been saying yes a lot. What have you said no to? I know the I heard Sarah Tourville at the library last week, $900 million worth of asks, I guess, on some of the CBA stuff.
Right.
You've said yes to many things. Now, whether that is all written down and signed in blood, I mean, that's what the opponents would say. What sort of things did you say no to if you said yes to these other things? What was, like, the weirdest thing you guys got asked?
Well, that I don't know if it's the weirdest, but it was the most kind of out of range was a $900 million ask on the CBA with, you know, $100 million kind of up front for us. And when you look across the league now, what we have agreed to, look across professional sports, what we have agreed to with the CBA, it's one of the best out there. And we'll live up to that CBA. I mean, that's, I think I heard maybe what we weren't measurable and those kind of things. What's $3.5 million per year from the Royals for great programs, whether that's mentorships, mental health, education, affordable housing. Those things are in there, and that's real. And we're willing to do that. We do that already through our Royals Foundation, various owners. John's through his family foundation is heavily education-oriented. Other owners do a lot of different things through their charitable giving, philanthropic efforts. So this is just, you know, additive to that. And that was probably the one that you kind of said, okay, we want to help, but let's be reasonable right about it, and we think we've done very well there.
Last thing for Brooke Sherman, the president of the Chiefs, before we get Mark Donovan, the president of the president of the Royals, Mark Donovan, president of the Chiefs, coming next. I got so many presidents walking around here, I don't know what to do with them all. Okay, so we know Jackson County's huge, and people who live out in, like, maybe Blue Springs, Oak Grove, Independence, they like it's the ease of it for them, right? That's one thing. A lot of the people who live downtown, Brookside, Midtown, whatever, they may like to get to the stadium a little bit quicker. But right down in the heart of this is the Crossroads. When you guys, what have you been hearing from the people in the footprint and right outside the footprint, whether they're residents or business owners? What's that been like? What's that learning been like for you over this last, since you said this was the spot?
Okay. We've met with a lot of them. We've met with nearly all of the property owners in our footprint. We've met with a lot of the tenants and business owners there, both inside and outside the footprint. And we have heard just, you know, questions about, are you going to take care of ingress, egress, so that we know traffic flows? How are we going to handle parking? Are we going to have enough parking spots? Can we get some dedicated parking? Can we get passes so that our customers can maintain, you know, ease of parking to come to our businesses? The answer to that question is yes. The answer to the other is that we're going to have technology to help. And those are the kind of things that they want to know, that we're just not going to overwhelm them. And that's the assurance we've tried to get. One is, we're not going to overwhelm you. We want to be a good neighbor. We want to fit in. We want to make sure that you get to your businesses, the fans get in and out of the ball games, that you get in and out easily. And you bet that's a focus of ours.
So your conversations have swayed some people, like, who were skeptical at the beginning. They feel better after the conversations,
yes,
you say?
Yes.
Generally,
yes,
speaking?
Yes.
Okay. What's your gut right now? Is this going to pass or not pass?
Yes. We believe it's going to pass. We are not going to sit back and just hope it passes. We're working every minute, every hour to do that.
And the big question, if it doesn't pass, is, do you still want to be downtown, find another way to do it?
You know, we have to take a step back, Todd. If this doesn't pass, which, again, we think it will, and we're working hard every minute to get it to pass. If it does not pass, we have to take a step back and look at all of our options. We have worked hard at trying to do the right thing here, trying to make this better, and we think that we have through our leases, through what we're doing, try to make this better for the county, and we've done that. We're doing something we think is great for Kansas City, the county, the region. We think this is the right location. We can get people in and out, and we capitalize on the infrastructure that's there. But if it doesn't pass, we honestly just have to take a step back, look at all of our options, and we'll see where that leads us.
All right. Well, we will find out on Tuesday if it does. Thanks for your time. I know you're busy. You got a big day tomorrow with opening day. Thanks for coming
opening
by
day,
and spending time with us. There is baseball to play,
looking
too.
Looking forward to baseball.
That's
yeah.
Brooke Sherman, the president of the Royals. Another president coming up next. Mark Donovan of the Chiefs.
Thank you.
Welcome back in. Todd Lebo in studio for a Stadium Vote special on this Wednesday. It's presidential. We've had Brooke Sherman on, president of the Royals, and we've got president of the Chiefs right now, Mark Donovan, on. We already had Frank White on. We're going to have a nice debate in our next hour with some yes and no all together. And that's what we're going to do. But Mark Donovan, thank you so much for coming by tonight. I appreciate it. I saw you at the lease signing. That it was a bit of a relief. Did you wish you would have had the lease done earlier, I suppose?
Oh, absolutely. Would love to have a lot of this done earlier. And I want to thank you for doing this. It's great to get both sides out there and let our listeners and your listeners hear hopefully some more facts about what's going on. And today was very, very important as part of that fact-based chain of events. You know, we talked a while ago about trying to put together a community benefits agreement that would be transformational and historic. And we are really proud that we were able to get that accomplished. And today's really exciting. I mean, we've been working on a lease for a long time, an extension. And I do want to say that I appreciate that you guys are doing this because it is really confusing. And if you're a listener, if you're a fan, there's a lot coming at you, right? My hope tonight is to share just facts and hopefully, obviously, give our side of it, but in a factual way. And the facts on the lease is that we worked really hard with our landlord, the Jackson County Sports Authority, and hammered out a really good lease. And weeks ago, we said we're going to try to have a transformational and historic CBA. We've done that. And we also said that we expect to have a lease signed that will be better than any lease we've ever signed and have more benefits for Jackson County taxpayers than ever before. And frankly, give direct money back to the county. And the lease we signed today does all of that. And it's signed.
So in my hands, I have the last lease. I don't know why I have this in my drawer, but I keep things. Yeah. I've got a file that says stadium. And I reached in there and I go, holy smokes, this is the date from 2016. It's the lease. And this lease now is better, right? And it's better for both sides because you guys have given some things up that maybe weren't there before. And that's what I told Frank White when he was on earlier. I mean, they did fight to get some money on the parks thing and the insurance and stuff like that. They've worked hard to do those things.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this lease is more fair for everybody? How would you characterize this lease compared to the last lease?
I'd go beyond fair. I would say that this is the best possible lease for the county of for Jackson County and for all the county taxpayers and for the voters. By far, it's better than 2006. I think the county executive did a great job of expressing some of his concerns. He did a great job representing Jackson County. And the Royals and the Chiefs came together and said, we should do this. This is the right thing to do so that we can continue this great partnership that we've had. It started with Mr. Coffin and Mr. Hunt. And, you know, one of the questions that I think everybody should ask themselves is, have we been good partners to Jackson County? Have we elevated the experience of living in Kansas City as franchises? And, you know, I got here in 2009. We were in the middle of the renovation then.
Yeah, your first day on the job, the stadium was torn up, right? Did you have an office in Arrowhead, or did you have an office in where you are now? Because that wasn't done yet, right? Or was it almost done?
We were right in the middle of it. So I did have an office in the stadium, and I did have an office in the training complex. And, you know, not being from here, being in a couple other cities before here, and not really understanding the challenges of the renovation, it was really eye-opening to me when we got it done, because we went through massive change and huge challenges. But when we got it done, it was transformational. It was a better experience for every single level of the stadium, for every single fan. And we actually elevated an iconic stadium into the realm of one of the best in the National Football League because we kept up with the times. It's been a while since then, and new buildings are built every day. And the amenities are better and better. And one of the things I'm most excited about our project is that we have found a way to bring the very best of the newest stadiums and put those in the iconic Arrowhead Stadium. So when you come to GHA Field, when this is done, you're going to have the very, very best of what's out there, and you're still going to be in that same spirit of Arrowhead Stadium.
So I was out there when you unveiled the things, and I told people, some people were underwhelmed. I don't know what you've heard. I'm going to ask you that. But I thought, I told people to think back to when you would go to a Chiefs game in 2002, and then when you went to a Chiefs game in 2010. The difference between that and that, I thought, was a lot, okay? So if you can get the difference between a 2010 Chiefs game to a 2027 Chiefs game or whenever this would be, that would be a lot for me. What did you hear from folks about whether they were overwhelmed, underwhelmed by the drawings and things that you
I think there was a there's a mixed review because I think there was some expectations. You know, when you're anytime you're doing something new, anytime you're unveiling something, a lot of people have preconceived notions. So I think in that case, a lot of people, one of the questions I got was, where's the dome?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
I don't know if you know this, Sarin wants a dome.
I've heard that.
He wants a Final Four here.
When you think about Arrowhead Stadium, you know, one of the things that makes it iconic is everything about it, the shape of it, the pitch of the stadium, the closeness to the seats, all those things. So putting a dome on that is not feasible. And I've talked about this. I mean, we've looked at building a new dome, and we could do it and be amazing.
How much would a brand new stadium cost?
Well, if you look at what's out there right now.
Like a domed stadium.
Yeah, you're looking at probably by the time we would be building it, more than $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Our renovation project is an $800 million project. And we felt like that was the right thing for Jackson County. We felt like that was the right thing for Arrowhead. We have a real desire to keep this building and make it better. And I think when you're comparing the two, like we're in those meetings when you're talking about should we build a brand new dome or should we renovate Arrowhead again, you could build a brand new dome. And a lot of teams have done that. And they're really cool buildings. No one in the world can build another Arrowhead. And we have the ability to take that and make it even better. And mm-hmm. that's what gets me excited about. We're bringing the best of the newest buildings and we're putting it inside Arrowhead. Nobody else can do that. And we have that opportunity. That's the path we'd like to take, and that's the path we've said from the beginning, and that's the path we're on.
You guys have different challenges in the Royals because you are staying in the same place. And people who love parking at Arrowhead, they love tailgates and all that stuff. The Royals have their own challenges down there. What's your favorite thing that you've seen on the new renovations that you think will be something that maybe people are overlooking right now if this passes? They'll be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, there isn't one thing. It gets a little inside the numbers, it gets a little like behind the scenes on what's really important. A couple of things that fans won't really be that attuned to right now are we're actually building a deck that'll connect the whole upper
deck. The whole upper deck.
So right now you can't get around our building. That's going to be really impactful for our fans on the upper deck. And for our fans who are listening who are on the upper deck, they know how impactful that will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond just convenience. It actually makes every single section better because think about it from the standpoint of right now, all of our upper deck, they come down and then they go to like four major areas to get concessions, get bathrooms, things like that. We've just expanded that to 360. So everybody who sits in the end zone, their experience got better. Everybody who sits in the corner, their experience got better. Everybody who sits on the sideline, their experience got better because you just spread the crowd out. So that's one. I would say this too. Everyone talks about the parking at Arrowhead. When we looked at any of our projects, that was a key component. We are famous for our tailgating. We are going to celebrate that, and we're going to make that even better. That's what we're doing with the activation zone. That's a really exciting piece. I think that's one of those ones when you asked at the beginning, like, what was the expectation? I think people have got to see and experience that. When they do, I think they're going to be really, really impressed. The other thing is, like, we're able to take, you know, new things we could have never done before. Think about this. You're going to be able to come in the lot between the K right now and Arrowhead. Right where the Lamar Hunt statue faces out in the parking lot. So in the middle of that parking lot, we're going to build a glass tower. So fans will be able to walk into this glass tower in the parking lot without ever entering the building, go down an escalator, go through a tunnel underneath that parking lot that'll open into a sideline club.
I've been in that tunnel. That's how the vendors go there.
That's exactly right. Now think of that tunnel looking more like O'Hare Airport. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
it's a little dingy now.
Right. So
it's a work tunnel.
Think about that from a fan perspective. So both sides of that. End zones that you can actually put those end zone suites on.
People love those end zone suites. I don't get it. I don't want to sit down that low, but they love them.
It's amazing. So I was with you. Like when I first, I'm a football fan first and foremost, and I've seen those things, and I'm like, I wonder what the view is like. And I sat through them. I'm like, it's not what for me, But I will tell you, we've done extensive research on this. It is the most popular new amenity of every new building that's built in the last 5 years that has it. So we said, the fans are telling us. We need to listen to them. This is really, really valuable. And we're going to do it in a way where end zone seats that we now have now, people are going to – they're going to be in a place that's very similar to where they are now. There's just going to be a new amenity below them. So – We're going to do our best to take care of everybody in that situation, because I know any change is controversial. That's what happened in 08, 9, 9, and 10. But again, I go back to, if you were there 8, 9, and 10 and you were worried and you're complaining about change, and then, you know, when you think about it in 15 and 19 and 20, it got a lot better. We're going to do the same thing.
We're talking to Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs. A couple more questions for you. One thing that I heard Frank White and other people talk about was you guys have, as I mentioned, your practice facility. If you drive into Gate 5, you see it. You've got the little, you know, the big football and the building and all that stuff. You have that here now. Many places, they have that somewhere else, and they have their games at a place. Right. They wanted assurances that, you're going to stay, at least in Jackson County. Mm-hmm. Have those assurances? Are those anywhere? Or is there a, where does that stay?
Yeah, in our binding letter of intent, we have acknowledged that if we ever plan to leave that facility, we would give Jackson County the first option. And let me explain that to the listeners, because I think it's important. This year, we will put another $5 to $7 million, based on the final cost of these things that we're doing to the training facility, into that building in 2024. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't really have plans right now to put $5 to $7 million into this thing and then walk away next year, right? So there's, it's much more likely that we would just continue to renovate that. There are a lot of pieces of this puzzle that have to fall. I think this is one that when it comes up, the first thing we'll do is sit down with Jackson County and say, here's where we are. Here's what we'd like to do. What do you guys think? So they have that option. It's in writing. It's agreed upon, and we'll fulfill that agreement. And then who knows where we are 10 years from now?
Right.
I don't know. The reality is that, you know, if you look around the National Football League, there are four teams, I believe, now who go away for training camp. We're one of them.
Right.
Right. We love going to St. Joe. We think it's a big part of our success as a football team.
Well, Andy likes it. I don't know if all the players like it, but they know it works.
But my point is, like, we're not going to change that.
Right.
Because it's working. We have an agreement that says you got to do this or that. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to do that. Now, 4 years from now, 3 years from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, I don't know. That may change.
Right.
And we may say, okay, if we're going to do this, we need all this space for a training camp.
Training camp facility.
Well, what if it doesn't fit there?
Right.
Right. Well, we're limited.
But you're saying
there.
Jackson County would have the first right.
Exactly right.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so the other question we've asked, you've been asked this a bunch of times. If this doesn't pass, 2032, where are the Chiefs? And you've always said, keep all the options open. I think what people get fearful of is that the Chiefs won't be in this city, okay? The weird part about this whole thing is there are 2.5 million people here, and there's going to be like 600,000 people voting on this. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't care whether you're in Kansas or Missouri or wherever. Yeah. My question is, if this thing's done and it doesn't pass and the lease is over, are you going to be in Kansas City, or will you look everywhere, anywhere in the United States, is the question.
Yeah,
I know, scares people.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are focused on this question. I would position it this way, and I think it's important, again, for everyone to hear this. We said that we are going to do a transformative CBA, which we've done. It's historic. It's historic in the...
Not involved in 2006 at all.
Not at all.
From zero to this.
We had a fair trade agreement then, didn't involve a lot of the things we've had, including the significant $226 million commitment. We have a lease. We've improved on that, including $200 million going back to the county in benefits with the park levy tax, giving back, that back, and also insurance. In addition to that, we're committing to $300 million in the renovation. If that doesn't work, we're in a situation where we got to say, we got to look at our options. Now, I don't know what the options are right now. We haven't had those discussions. We want to get this done. And Clark has been clear on this, that his desire is to renovate Arrowhead Stadium. He's also been clear that if we don't have a financial agreement that makes that make sense, we have to look at other options. My hope is that April 2nd, we get a yes vote, and we're talking about executing this lease, and we're talking about starting to spend this money, and we're talking about continuing on this great partnership that we've had for the last 50 years.
Your gut feeling, pass or fail?
Yeah, I think we're going to win. I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to be close. And, you know, one of the things we've seen recently is the voters who are out there who want this to stay and want to continue our partnerships, I think they're much more attuned to we need everybody, and we need everybody to get out on the second or before and vote their conscience. I'm a big believer in the democratic process. I think that everybody should vote what they believe in. And my hope tonight and as we get closer is that we're going to continue to provide the facts. But when you look at the facts and you go back to my first comment that we've been really good partners and we've all benefited from it, we're committed to continuing that partnership.
Mark Donovan, thanks so much for your time. I know you've been very, very busy with all of this going on. It's going to be a lot of work up to Election Day, but we appreciate your time and can't wait to see what happens. And I agree. Go vote, man. Don't whine if you don't vote. Mark Donovan, right here on a Tuesday night. No, Wednesday night on this. It's Wednesday. I don't even know what day it is on this stadium special. Welcome back into the Stadium Vote Special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo. We're having fun. We have already had Frank White, the county executive, on. He is a no vote. He's told us that. He's written a letter about it. We've had Mark Donovan and Brooke Sherman, the presidents of the two teams. They're yes votes because they want this to happen. Now we're going to have a little bit of a round table here, and I will give this text number out again. 913-912-4810, 913-912-4810. If you'd like to text in, I'll try to ask questions of anyone on our panel here. Here's what we've got. Sly James, former mayor of Kansas City. How you doing, Sly?
Doing great. How are you?
It's cold in here, isn't it?
It is.
It is cold.
Especially on my head.
Yeah, it blows right out of that deal. That's a Mitsubishi air conditioner. Those are wonderful. They keep you cool if you need to be cool. And we've got Patrick Tui, who is, you've got several titles, but I'll call you the senior fellow of the Show Me Institute.
That's great.
That's the best one. And you have, I saw you at the town hall last week, pretty hardline stance, no money for projects like this. So
I think so, yeah.
That
sums it up.
That sums it up. And Jim Rowland, who is the executive director of the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, you were out there today when the leases got signed, and you were in the city council before that, and Sly James was the mayor. You guys have known each other for a while.
We have.
How many years? A long time?
Oh, wow. We're probably talking decades at this
decades point. Decades at this point. Decades at this point. Okay, so let's start here with the lease we got today, Jim, because that was the news today.
Sure.
Why is this lease better than the other leases?
Well, I think, one, the 2006 lease was a dramatic change from the 1990 lease. That's the first thing to understand. Before 2006, the taxpayers were always on the hook for expenses, just keeping the buildings in state-of-the-art, first-class condition. 2006, we flipped that on its head. The teams became responsible for long-term capital maintenance. They were also responsible for any cost overruns of the construction project. So that was the initial part. I think this lease is even better because of the work of the county in getting the $3.5 million parks levy that's going to be, you know, flowing back to the county, and the team stepping up and saying, hey, we'll cover the cost of insurance for $1.5 million. That's $5 million a year. That's a big win.
Okay, and this one, as you said, they're getting better and better. I've looked around, and perhaps, Patrick, you can help me with this. You know, your stance basically is no taxes for things like this. These billionaire owners can pay for their stadiums, and that's basically how you feel about this. And we've seen some places where that works, where someone will pay for something. I guess they did that in New York or the New Jersey, right? The MetLife Stadium was paid for partially with a loan from the league or whatever. And Stan Kroenke built out at SoFi. I'm sure there's some tax benefit somewhere out there for him in some way. But it doesn't happen everywhere. In cities like this, this happens. Does what you've seen happen the last month or so, or even the last week since I saw you down there, have you seen things from the team side that make you feel any better about this? Or is it a black and white issue with you?
Well, we should have seen all of this weeks ago. We should have known all this as voters. Or voters should have been... this should have been known to voters before it was ever put on the ballot. The idea that we are 5 or 6 days before the election and the owners have just put together a lease or a CBA, and by the way, that's just one party. The legislature has to look over these things, examine them, decide if they want any changes. They don't meet until Monday. So this is really, really late in the game. Thousands of people have already voted. And I just get the impression that this has all been rushed. These are last-minute things. Again, they may be good deals, they may be bad deals. This should have been known weeks, months ago, before voters were asked to weigh in.
Sly James, you've been in politics. You didn't spend your whole life in politics, but you got into politics when you were the mayor, and you've been around it now. Why has this taken so long? What has been the problem?
Well, first of all, I think it needs to understand that Frank White and the legislature was approached in 2021. They basically stiff-armed him at that point in time, asked him not to do anything until after the 2023 election because they didn't want it to be an election issue. And then there were a number of different things that happened that made negotiations difficult at best and in some instances impossible. For example, there was a demand from Frank where he basically demanded half the tax. Well, how does that work? If the tax is to help build the stadiums and maintain them, then you can't get half. Those types of negotiation tactics slow things down, and at some point it becomes fruitless to try to negotiate. That's part of it. The other part of it has been the fact that as they've looked through things, and the East Village was a preferred site at one point, and then they found out some things about the East Village that made it an impossibility. The highway structure at that particular point is one issue. The fact that it would be competing with Power and Light, and the city didn't care for that because that means that...
As a quick aside on Power and Light,
yeah.
You were mayor, you know, and then Power and Light was already opened-ish, but it was happening when you were mayor. And there's still some city subsidies that go to that, right? Why is that?
Well, part of it is because the Power and Light structure where it sat, and Jim knows this from his time on the city council, the infrastructure in that area was horrible, mm-hmm. absolutely horrible. Pipes, underground pipes that were in place, I think I saw one with a stamp of 1908, rusting out and things of that nature. All that stuff had to be replaced regardless of whether or not Power and Light was there. It was going to have to be replaced anyhow. When I came into office, we were $6 billion behind in deferred maintenance. Downtown had suffered. And if you recall what downtown used to look like, that's one of the reasons that we had a big deal with the infrastructure and paying for the infrastructure. The other part, too, is that we couldn't get a team in the Sprint Center at the time, now T-Mobile. Wanted a basketball team, couldn't find an owner. Wanted a hockey team, couldn't find an owner. If you recall, we made a run at trying to get the Seattle Supersonics. They wound up going down to Oklahoma City. And then the Penguins kind of used this as a foil in order to get a new stadium in Pittsburgh. So those are the reasons why it's an overrun. The teams not being there, not providing all the dates and the people that would have filled Sprint Arena became a problem because they were anticipating in their pro formas a certain amount of foot traffic and activity that simply didn't materialize. Now, the Sprint Center was doing quite well with concerts and things like that, and at some point they said, you know what? It would be more beneficial to not have a team, considering all the dates they would wipe out, and the cost of getting a team here that you'd have to subsidize and bring in, and those types of things.
Let me just disagree with the mayor. Won't surprise anybody. The reason why taxpayers are on the hook for Power and Light is because city leadership negotiated an awful deal. Private businesses that want to build on a particular footprint should be responsible for the cost of all that. Now, maybe a city wants to say, we've got 100-year-old pipes. We're going to help you out, perhaps. That can be reasonable. But to say that we're going to pick up the debt if you don't meet your projections, Troy Schulte, who was city manager at the time, said that the deal was so bad that we would have to have Christmas-level shopping every weekend in order for Power and Light to generate the wealth it needed to pay its own debt. And so my frustration as a taxpayer in Jackson County and Kansas City is that we get in bed with these companies, and then they run circles around us when it comes to drawing up the deals. We lose every time, and we lose in Cerner, we lose in Power and Light, and we're losing with a sports company.
So your point is this isn't just about sports teams.
No.
It's whatever.
We throw so much money at businesses to come downtown, and the research shows that in 75% of the cases, business would have done it anyway. We paid Burns and McDonald to build a world headquarters building in South Kansas City next to their existing headquarters building on land that was already owned by their development partner. They weren't going to build anywhere else, but we gave them the money anyway, and we pretend that we somehow create a job.
I don't know where he gets that 75% nonsense, because that's simply not true. I happen to sit in that office for 8 years dealing with people coming in and working with KCADC and the Economic Development Corporation. And one thing that I think people need to remember, we are not a city like a lot of other cities where there is no competition outside of our borders. Johnson County is a very viable option for businesses. And if you want to get businesses into Kansas City, you're in competition immediately with Johnson County for that business. Secondly, there have been businesses that we've said no to, and they didn't build because they couldn't do it without it. You can't do that all the time.
If they can't do a project without public money, they probably shouldn't be doing that project. And by the way, the 75% study comes from the Upjohn Institute for Economic Research, and it is, again, an example of the research left and right that's been done for years that say that these subsidies just don't work out for taxpayers.
It is a bit of a problem that we are on a state line, though. There's kind of a isn't there sort of a truce right now?
Yes.
Okay, so that helps a little bit, right?
It does.
But because here's what I know. I don't know much about the politics part of the tax part of this, but I know this. I've lived here for 54 years. I've lived in Eastern Jackson County, either in Independence or Lee Summit, and I just watch things pop up, and then I go like. In Independence, when I was a kid, Best Buy finally came there, right? Best Buy came, and then 4 years later, they moved across the street. And then like 6 years later, they moved out to 39th Street. I'm like, why is Best Buy moving everywhere? They're moving because they're chasing like tax breaks, right?
Because
basically,
different jurisdictions give them incentives so that they pick up and move. And each jurisdiction that they move into claims like, look, we've attracted jobs. But regionally, there's been no job growth. It's just a game that these businesses have figured out how to play, and they show some leg to every municipality, and they get into these battles, whether it's across state line or within Missouri, and it's an absolute waste of taxpayer money.
Has that sort of happened here, Jim, with this? Because the Royals, initially, I'm taking the Chiefs out of this at this point, but the Royals talked to Clay County, right? And then they had 14 sites or whatever. For you, from your end on this, as the executive director of the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, you guys are in charge of the stadiums and all of that. What has this process been like as you've seen it kind of morph through this last couple of years?
Well, I'm glad we're back to the stadiums. Yeah, I thought that's what we were here for.
Well,
it's okay.
I brought up Power and Light. It's my fault.
Pat could talk about anti-development and all that for probably days and hours. So anyway, the reality is the reason why we are where we are is because we had people who were negotiating in bad faith. I sat in every single meeting that occurred with the county and the teams. And I can tell you with absolute certainty that every attempt was made to delay in order to sabotage. And that was a strategy.
Are you talking about county executive or legislators or who? If you want to name names, go ahead.
County executive.
Okay.
And his team. The note, I mean, Sly talked about it initially. I mean, the requests were like, I know you were listening to him, and I was listening to him as well. You heard him say that he wanted the sales tax to flow back to the county.
The whole point of the sales tax is to go to the stadium.
Exactly. So it was literally trying to hijack to the voters and being disingenuous to the voters, saying, let's pass a sales tax for the stadiums. But, oh, by the way, I want a third of it for the county so that they could do whatever with it. That, it wasn't legal. It's not practical. It's not plausible. It should have never happened. So we got to the point where, yes, we've been scrambling to make up for all of those days and months of inaction and a lack of good faith conversation that the teams were willing to have, wanted to have. And if, at some point they throw up their arms and just say, we need to talk to somebody that's reasonable. That's our role. We are the landlord. You have the 06 lease in front of you. We sign the leases.
Mm-hmm.
The county signs a consent agreement. So the notion that somehow, we're not doing what we're supposed to do, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're protecting the taxpayers as we've done from the time I've been there, which was in 2006. We've protected the taxpayers. We've done oversight. We've done everything that we're supposed to do. And so have the teams. They've lived up to that document that was established in 06. They've kept the buildings in first-class condition. Now the teams have made the decision that they want to do something different. The Royals have obviously precipitated this whole dialogue because they wanted to move downtown. That's a business model that they've decided that they wanted to do. We'll have the chance to say yes or no on April 2nd. But again, they were trying to have good faith conversations from 2001 on.
We're talking to Jim Rowland on our roundtable here. He's the executive director of the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority. You say the leases that you guys agreed to today are better than the leases in 06.
Absolutely.
Which were better than the leases before. I've looked around a little bit, and just as far as the financing goes on this project, there are some bad ones out there in America, right? I mean, I think Cincinnati is a mess.
Horrible.
Terrible. Do you feel like you've learned from mistakes elsewhere and your own and made this better? Will there ever be a perfect lease?
Never. And we live in a reality, too, that, you know, the reality is that there's a state, there's a municipality somewhere that will back up a Brinks truck and offer the teams money. Patrick talks about dollars, right? Just that equation of, do I get my dollar for dollar back? At the complex, we generate almost $50 million in direct taxes for the state, for the county, and the city. Direct. Right there alone. Now, again, we'll never be direct, you know, one-to-one. But how do you quantify a 2012 All-Star game? How do you quantify 14 and 15 World Series runs? How do you quantify the number of AFC championships? How do you quantify the World Cup? The World Cup coming to Arrowhead Stadium. Unbelievable accomplishment for a community that we're punching above our weight. We are going to have the world as our stage in 2026. No one accounts for that because it's impossible to quantify. We know that with a base camp, we're going to attract over 100,000 people into our community just from that community, from that country alone. And the amount of publicity, the amount of PR that we've gotten as a result of the different things that have happened at that complex, unquantifiable.
Patrick, your thoughts about quantifying this. I know they had a press conference last week or a Zoom where they had a company try to with the economic benefit of this project and any project. Is that a quantifiable thing?
I think a team's or a city's pride in its team maybe isn't quantifiable. But everything else, tourism is quantifiable. There are whole organizations in Kansas City whose sole purpose is to quantify that type of stuff. And certainly, it's quantifiable when taxpayers are hit up for money. We know exactly how much we're being asked for, but when we ask for a return on the investment, it becomes, oh, it's vague. It's not quantifiable.
It's not vague. I mean, how are we becoming the tourism destination for the world? Every publication you see says Kansas City is happening. Kansas City is moving. Kansas City is doing all of these things. That's a result of the investment that we make. You will never get a return on your investment that's dollar for dollar. That's not possible.
I'm glad Mr. Rowland mentioned that, because when you read into those articles, what they're talking about are Leawood and Olathe.
They're not talking
about Kansas City.
No, we
all call ourselves, Kansas City, but in fact, all the growth, certainly the population growth, is happening outside the city.
Yeah, downtown Kansas City has grown, though, right?
That's not true.
From nothing to 40,000 residents downtown.
The population of Kansas City has been at or under 500,000 people for 50 years. Meanwhile, the population of all the areas around us are growing at a much, much faster rate. So when we talk about Kansas City, are we talking about the region? Are we talking about the city itself? So again, people use that vague term. And again, I can tell people I'm from Washington, D.C. when I live in the suburbs in Maryland. So the taxpayers of Jackson County and the taxpayers of Kansas City are exactly right to say, what is the benefit to us? And when we subsidize all these deals, we have dollars going out the door and we can't demonstrate a benefit of what's coming back to us.
Here's a question from the text line, and this is something that many people have asked. We've done, one time we made it work, and one time we didn't, with Bi-State, right?
Right.
Why is that so hard to get everyone to do that? I mean, it's probably a silly way to ask that question, but I see how hard this is with a few levels of government, and now you're adding all of it. Is that basically the gist of it? You just get too many cooks in the kitchen?
Bi-state would be a wonderful thing. It's not very likely in this day and age. One of the things that, and the reason I know that is that there was another attempt to do bi-state after Union Station. I forget what it was.
It was for some renovations and lots of different things.
And it failed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not likely to happen under these circumstances. But when you talk about a return on investment, look at the situation with Santa Clara and the 49ers when they moved their stadium there. This isn't a prospective analysis of what's going to happen. It's a retrospective analysis of what did happen. And there was $468 million.
That study's been debunked.
Can you just let me finish? $468.9 million of tax increase for Santa Clara, $546 million of indirect spending, 11,840 jobs, full-time jobs, were created. Now, he'll say it's debunked, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that Jim talked about World Cup. World Cup wouldn't have happened without a new airport, and they flat out said that. NFL draft wouldn't happen without a new airport. When the Republican National Convention was looking at Kansas City to come into town, they said, we don't like your airport, we don't like your hotel situation.
That's not true at all.
You know, I happened to be in there.
No, I know, and I wrote about it at the time. You had leadership of the Congress had the convention in their district. We would have never gotten that, and they never talked about hotel rooms, because Kansas City, the region, has more hotel rooms than the city they chose to go to.
That is, you know what, it's really kind of funny, since they came up to me and say, Mr. Mayor, we've looked at the hotels, and we figure that we're going to have people living out in Blue Springs, out in South Johnson County, and maybe as far up as St. Joe. You don't have enough hotel rooms. But even if we get past that, first, can we get the Highway Patrol in Kansas to provide escorts for people coming from the Kansas locations? And secondly, where would you suggest that when our high roller donors come in, that they stay? Because you don't have a 4 or 5 star hotel in the city. That's absolutely false. I was in the meetings. I talked to the people, everybody from Rance Priebus, who wound up being the chief of staff to President Trump in his first year. We had that conversation right in my office and at the meetings that we had. So he can say what he wants to, but I was actually there and heard what they said.
Hey, Jim, we're talking Rance Priebus now. See, you talk about just getting businesses. We are having a fun roundtable here. I want to remind everyone who's on. Sly James, former mayor of Kansas City. Patrick Tuohy, who's a senior fellow at the Show Me Institute. And Jim Rowland, who's the executive director at the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority. I want to talk to you first, Sly, about the CBA.
Yep.
And we've been trying to remind people for about 3 months that a CBA is not a collective bargaining agreement for a Major League Baseball union. This is a different thing. It's a community benefits agreement.
Right.
And this is a new thing in Kansas City. First off, from what you've seen, is this a good thing, bad thing? Were there too many asks? Why do these exist?
Well, they exist in order to make sure that there's some give back to the community that's providing the tax benefit. It's a you do this for us and we do this for you type of a thing. And it is a good thing. Secondly, it is a significant thing because when you look at the other CBAs, this one is far better than the CBAs that have been used by other sports teams. It's $5,000 a year or $5 million a year, $5.5 million a year, 3.5 from the Royals and 2 from the Chiefs every year. That goes into a pot that will be controlled by the Jackson County Legislature's governing body that they put together. I assume that each legislator will select one person to serve on that governing body, and the Royals and the Chiefs will have 2 representatives each. So it looks like a group of 13. They will then be charged with doing whatever process they put in place to dole out the money in order to achieve the best common good. Yes, it's a good thing. It is a very good thing. The CBA also includes, now that's just one part of the CBA. The other part of the CBA that's deals more with the construction issues has a high, high goal of 43% minority and women-owned businesses to participate. And we know from the participation of minority and women-owned businesses in the airport, which did have a CBA, but it was only $23 million because it was federal dollars, and you can't use the federal dollars for an airport for anything other than the airport
itself. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the federal law. So with that, we had job training programs that we set up. The general contractor used their bonding authority to allow smaller companies that did not have the ability to bond themselves, to use their bonding authority in order to get the jobs. And the reason that that's important is that if you can't get into the bigger jobs and show what you can do, then you shut out of the next big job. So now that they've done that and they've had that bonding authority, a lot of them have grown and added more employees to their companies and been able to bid on bigger jobs.
Were there some things that were asked for that were, I know Sarah Tourville said at the town hall they'd asked for $900 million.
$980.
So I'm sure it's ridiculous. I do not envy anybody who has to sit down for a team or anyone else and negotiate a CBA. Someone who has to deal with that, there's a special place in heaven for them.
So it's a difficult thing. I mean, there were some outlandish things that were asked for.
Well, let's just say that the problem with it is that the way that it started, the negotiations started, was probably flawed in the first place. Because what happened was that the county selected Gwen Grant to kind of honcho the entire thing. And Gwen brought in a bunch of different groups, all of which had different priorities and different needs to do it. And they each then crafted what they wanted.
Sure.
When you add it all up, all that up together, it was $980 million. And there was like one that was like, we want $100 million up front and $50 million for the next 10 years. Okay, well, how does that work? That's not a reasonable ask. So it got pared down. I was at the meetings, and I was at the meeting where we finally reached agreement with two Jackson County legislators sitting in the room, with Gwen Grant and Bridget Williams and others sitting in the room, and we started at 12:30 on a Sunday. We ended at 6 o'clock that night, and that was the last meeting, but it certainly wasn't the only one. There are a ton of meetings on this. It was an arduous process. It was a difficult process, but it was a process where we reached a conclusion that everybody who was there could agree on, and that's what they have in front of them now.
I would also just point out, too, we didn't call it a CBA in 2006. We had unbelievable MBE-WBE participation,
right,
and that became the benchmark for what the airport did because our program was so successful. We had a fair share agreement that did job training. We also had workforce participation, again, women and minorities in the construction industry. And we made sure that the teams lived up to prevailing wage, the contractors lived up to prevailing wage. So while it wasn't called a CBA, you know, a lot
same
of that.
Same kind of things.
Exactly. And very successful.
So, first of all, the CBA is not agreed to. The teams have submitted it to the legislature. Again, as with so many other things, the legislature won't meet until Monday. They can decide to review it, make changes. And that is the day before the election. This CBA, these leases, all these deals should have been decided months ago. These gentlemen.
Well, I think everyone agrees with that.
Yes.
It would be great if it
were. In a perfect world, they would have been, but for people sabotaging the process.
These gentlemen want you to believe that the county sat on a stadium plan for 2.5 years. I think that's what Ms. Tourville said the other day. A stadium plan that did not include a location? Really? You guys, the teams put the location out after it was put on the ballot, and today, John Sherman says they're going to change the plan to keep Oak open. That, if anything, demonstrates that this was half-baked. They weren't ready to put this forward. I don't know why they rushed to put it on the ballot, but taxpayers are being asked to literally give these guys a blank check, and so many stories have changed. And one last thing. In your last segment, Mr. Sherman said we need a new stadium to be competitive with our peers for amenities. And Mr. Rowland said a minute ago that we've kept these buildings in first-class condition. Yet a few weeks ago, we were being told about concrete cancer and that it wasn't safe for people. This is a campaign.
No one ever said they were not safe for people.
That is absolutely true.
That is not the case.
This is being rushed. They don't have their story straight. They haven't figured out the location until way too late, and now they're having to make basic changes to everything. Voters should not accept this as a well-thought-out, well-campaigned, well-developed plan.
The reality is that the Royals have made a value decision based on the long-term prospects of the building. They're saying that it would take us $1 billion to renovate, or it would take us $1 billion to build new. They made a value decision based on that. No one ever said that the building was unsafe. That is blatantly not true, and it's not fact. They have said long-term that we would like a new look, a new building downtown. They've been consistent with that for the last 2.5 years.
I'll bet Jackson County taxpayers would be thrilled to invest $1 billion to renovate Kauffman than to pay $1 billion to tear it down.
It's not $1 billion to turn it down, tear it down.
And no, it's $1 billion to build something else.
To build something
tear
else. Mayor, when what have you heard from folks in the Crossroads over the past couple months on this? I know there was some anxiety early.
Yeah.
Have the fears been quelled?
Some, not all. There is a surprising number of businesses and people in the Crossroads who are very happy with this program, this process. Not everybody is. Then again, I'm used to the fact that you're never going to get 100% satisfaction on any project. You could stand on the street corner and hand out $20 bills, and 30% of the people would tell you that it should be a 50, and 30% would say you shouldn't do it at all. The other 30 would say thank you. But at the end of the day, we are making every step, taking every step possible to make this as painless for people as absolutely possible. Will there be some pain? Undoubtedly. That's always the case and unfortunate. But we are trying to do everything that we can to ameliorate that. People who may have to move may not even have to move more than a block or two. So they'd still be in the Crossroads area. We're also taking steps to ensure that we stay true to the vibe of the Crossroads. We're not there to put a McDonald's in the Crossroads. We're there to make sure that that the taco place down on 18th Street has more business, and that Stretch's restaurant has more business, so that people come there, so that artists can actually do something. Also, $500 million has been talked about, and $500,000 for the Crossroads for entrepreneur and small business development as part of what we're talking to them about. You can go on their website and see the things that we've been talking about and still working on to try to get into an agreement. So we've made great progress. We've quelled a lot of fears, but there's always going to be someone who is fearful and upset. But by and large, I think what you're not hearing are all the people who are in favor of it in the Crossroads.
Can we do just one quick point? Because I heard it earlier, and I'd love to speak to it. And that's the whole notion that the teams have threatened to leave, which couldn't be further from the truth.
They get asked questions, they answer the question.
And the reality is, as anyone would agree, a business, you know, is faced with a decision. Someone says no. What are they going to do? They're going to explore their options from that point on. We as human beings, as individual people, we make a decision. Okay, we're going to go right. Something happens and we can't go right. Well, we're going to start to evaluate our decisions. We're going to start evaluating our options. I've been in hundreds of meetings with both of the teams. The fact that they signed the leases today, committing themselves to 25 years and 40 years to stay in Kansas City, to stay in Jackson County, is the absolute testament to what it is they've always wanted, which is to be here.
Patrick, you say you shouldn't pay for these things, but if they did leave, someone else would, right? The city would.
Perhaps.
And it's just the way it works.
I mean, look.
Absolutely, they will.
Virginia just turned down a deal to move Washington, D.C., all the guys in Nashville who voted to fund the Titan Stadium were all thrown out of office. And what we're seeing in Virginia and what we're seeing in Jackson County, frankly, is people are standing up and say, this is not a good deal for us. We're tired of funding billionaires who should be spending their own money to support their own hobby.
All right, here's the deal. Real quick. Sly, is it going to pass or fail?
It's going to pass.
It's going to pass. Jim, is it going to pass?
Pass.
Patrick, what do you think?
I have no idea, but let me tell you, I would rather be on the no team than the yes team.
So you're hedging a little no.
And to be honest, we would rather have him on the no team as opposed to the
boy,
yes
come
team.
On. We've had a fun conversation here. Sly James, former mayor of Kansas City, Patrick Tuohy, a senior fellow at the Show Me Institute, and Jim Rowland, the executive director of the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority. Thanks so much for coming by. I do think this is important. Our listeners need to have these conversations, and not everyone who's listening can vote because not everyone's in Jackson County, but I do think everyone needs to know about this. Thanks so much for your time. More coming up next on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back in on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo. We've got a special program going on for a couple hours tonight. We've got the big vote coming up on April 2nd, and we're talking about the project happening in the Crossroads that the Royals have gotten to. And we've got someone who's deeply involved in the Crossroads, and that's Matt Abbott of Abbott Properties. Matt, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about what you do and kind of where you have properties all around in and outside of the footprint of this project, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
When you first heard about this, we've seen a lot of these things where the Royals started with everyone kind of thought it was East Village, and then they had the thing where they were Clay County and there, and then people kept coming back to the Crossroads as a place where they would maybe want to do this. When did you start really start getting the hint that this was a place where the Royals would like to be?
Well, actually, long before the Royals considered or targeted this location, I've always thought this is the right location for a new stadium because of the infrastructure that we've invested in, how this opportunity could bring neighborhoods together. It was about 2 weeks prior to their official announcement that they informed me that they were considering this location.
So you've been, your company has been putting investment into this area for over 20 years, right? That was before Sprint Center, now T-Mobile, before anything was happening in there. Can you just kind of describe what the Crossroads and that area looked like when you first started investing in the very early 2000s?
Sure. I mean, when back in the early 2000s, downtown is what I call a ghost town. At 5 p.m., the streets were vacant. There was zero activity, and there was just some trash blowing around in the wind. Since then, we've built one of the greatest downtowns in the country. And I began heavily investing in the Crossroads neighborhood in 2012. And since then, we've developed almost 50 transformational projects in the Crossroads neighborhood.
So what are the lots of different wide-ranging things down there, too, right? I mean, there's shops, there's businesses, there's residential. I mean, what basically are the your tenants like?
Sure. Well, some of our projects are our own businesses, such as the Abbott Hotel Indigo Crossroads and many others. And then we have a wide mix of tenants from breweries, distilleries, restaurants. We have concert venues, offices, creative spaces, a dance studio, a large assortment of tenants.
What have you been hearing from your tenants when this thing kind of became a reality that it was going to be on the ballot? Are they, I'm guessing not everyone feels exactly the same. Some people probably like it, some people don't. I mean, how's that been for you as a property owner?
Sure. You know, I think there was a lack of communication, and the announcement scared people. It showed up as change, and it caused a lot of fear due to the lack of communication. With that said, we've communicated with all of our tenants, and for the most part, there are many tenants that are optimistic and see potential in the stadium, yet there are some tenants that are still concerned about the changes to the neighborhood.
One of the things, we're talking to Matt Abbott from Abbott Properties here on Sports Radio 810 tonight. One of the things that I'm a consumer of news, right? So I've been watching the news, regular news on this for like a month, right? And I would see angry people who are in the Crossroads. I don't want a baseball stadium coming down here. I don't want that. And I think part of it was, you know, it was hard to communicate with everybody right away. I mean, it's impossible for the Royals to reach out to every tenant, every property owner, everybody right away. And then the immediate thing, just like you said, like they didn't really know. Over the past like month, do you feel like the proper message has been given to the folks who are, you know, in the Crossroads living and working, and they feel better, worse about this now? I mean, what's your kind of like, you know, finger in the wind barometer of what you're hearing out there?
Well, I mean, I think that the people that are opposed to the stadium have spoken strongly and have spoken up. I think there are a lot of people that are very favorable to the new stadium, but they have remained on the sidelines and been a little bit shy about speaking their opinion vocally.
And what do you think the reason for that is?
You know, some of they're concerned about how this could potentially impact their friends and neighbors. And because of some of the uncertainty with change, they haven't wanted to speak publicly against people that they care about.
It's a tough spot. I mean, this is weird because it is it's transformational, because there, as you mentioned, 20 years ago, there was nothing down there. And now there's some things built down there, and some people have gotten used to how it is. But this will be a change. I think from my perspective, the hardest part is if you could just fast forward in 4 years and plop the stadium down, that would be easy. Then it would be great, right? It's the 4 years of building it in construction and all that stuff that probably has some of these people freaked out a little bit about maybe losing some business, because people are like, I can't go down there right now because it's all torn up and things like that. You think that's a concern from some folks?
Sure. You know, there's probably three big concerns I've heard of. The first concern is will the current tenants, small businesses, and property owners be treated well? Will they be taken care of by the Royals? And the answer to that question is absolutely. The Royals have publicly promised and told me that they will take good care of every small business owner that needs to be relocated and every property owner. As far as the next concern I've heard is parking. And in regards to parking, yes, some parking needs to be figured out, and that hasn't been completely figured out yet. But the Royals have agreed to protect street parking for the local businesses and residents. And the third big concern I've heard is the construction timing. And it's interesting because I've actually owned buildings in downtown St. Louis when the soccer stadium was built. And what I noticed is the construction didn't have as much impact on the neighborhood as I thought.
That's interesting. Tell me about this. You know, as when we first saw the plans for this, one of the things that looks really transformative is covering 670 to really make this, you know, a green space, a park where it would be really easy to get from P&L and all that downtown. If you live in one of the high rises down there, make it super easy to walk to a ball game. Is it how important is that part to this? And let's be very clear, that's not part of this vote. That's a separate thing. But much of that is already approved. But is that something that could be really, regardless of what was happening with a stadium, that would be a transformative thing just for the Crossroads itself, wouldn't it? If they get 670 covered up with the decking or whatever they properly call that.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most exciting things about this opportunity is that's a game changer for downtown and the Crossroads Arts District. And that opportunity happens, the extension of that happens because of this baseball stadium.
So we're talking to Matt Abbott, and he's inside the footprint and outside the footprint with several of your businesses. Is that have you kind of like on both sides of it? Like, this is weird because I've got some buildings that are going to be gone, and excited because the buildings that you have outside, you obviously are for this project because you think it'll do great things for the Crossroads. Has it been weird at all for you personally? Because I don't think many people are both inside and outside of the footprint.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. This has actually been a really, it's been challenging for everyone in the neighborhood. With that said, you know, I've been developing in the Crossroads with a 50-year plan, and I see the potential and opportunity that this stadium brings to the Crossroads neighborhood. If I didn't see that potential and I didn't see the possibilities this did for our community, I would not be on board. But because of the opportunity, I think it's fantastic. It's a game changer for the Crossroads and the neighborhood.
So a lot of people, you look around, and I think there's been some vilification maybe of the billionaires, right? Hunts and the Shermans and all this. But, I mean, I don't know John Sherman well. I'm sure you've gotten to know him quite a bit, or the Royals top brass during this for sure. When I'm around him, I do believe that he's got the best interests of Kansas City at heart. He has said that he bought this thing to be a caretaker for it. He wants to leave it better than he found it. And part of that is they need to do something for Kansas City. Is that the feeling you have gotten when you're dealing with the Royals, that there's something like a bit of a higher calling than just a baseball stadium for them?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that John Sherman is a man of integrity. I think the history of John Sherman speaks for itself. I think that John Sherman bought the Royals to bring back championship baseball to KC and to build a transformative stadium in downtown KC. That's what it's all about.
So what's your barometer right now on, like, just you think this is going to pass or not pass? I hear people on all sides of this who want it to pass, or they're worried, or they don't want it to pass and they're worried, or they think it's going to pass easy or not. I mean, we're getting close. You know, we're less than a week away as we talk. What are you feeling right now? What's your gut telling you?
My gut tells me that once our community understands the facts and sees how important and transformative this can be for Kansas City, for our entire community, that this vote will pass.
Well, we're trying to inform everyone on all sides of the issue. Thank you, Matt Abbott from Abbott Properties, for joining us here on our special tonight. We've enjoyed it. We talked to Frank White, the county executive, Brooke Sherman, and Mark Donovan, the presidents of the Royals and the Chiefs. Jim Rowland from the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, Patrick Tuohy on the no side from the Show Me Institute, Sly James, former mayor of Kansas City. We've had a great discussion. I think it's been a lot of fun. I hope you guys all learn something tonight, and hope you get out and vote, because that's what it's all about. You all have a voice. If you're a Jackson Countyan, do not complain about anything that happens next Tuesday if you didn't go out and vote yourself. Bethany Bowman is coming up next with She's on the Mic on Sports Radio 810 WHB.